ready to get and stay fit? Welcome to Fit Positive Confident with Dr. Gordon, where the focus is on your whole person health, physical, mental, and spiritual. Because your health can be affected by so many factors, Dr. G covers a range of topics in this program, from eating healthy to world-shaping events. So relax and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. This is Fit Positive Confident, and in the studio today, my good buddy, professor and doctor and PhD, Dr. Richard Jensen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend, Dr. Gordon Anik.
I'm Dr. Jensen.
all these titles and hoopla and hype.
Useless stuff.
Well, those three little letters, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. You spend all these years studying and going to school to have a couple of things in front of your name.
Yeah, and mine is in something particularly useless, too. Like, I mean, I'm a doctor of philosophy. Yeah, who cares about philosophy? No one knows what it is, what it's about, why anyone would care about it. It's one of the most useless, ridiculous disciplines. I talk to people and they say, oh, yeah, my brother-in-law is a psychologist. Well, wait, so you think a philosopher is like a psychologist?
Right.
Yeah, people have no clue what it's about.
No.
Totally lost any philosophical underpinnings in this country at this point.
Yeah, and these degrees, man, I was at the house one time when this old gentleman ended up moving to a nursing home, you know. His kids came by, and it was the saddest thing I ever seen. They picked up all of his diplomas from the wall, and this guy was some kind of a PhD, you know. Guess what? It all went into the trash, man.
Yeah.
You would think that your kids would save your something from your dad's, you know. I literally saw the stuff into the, saw the things in the bin, in the trash cans.
I don't know. That seems really low to me.
Yeah, no, I know.
But didn't have a good relationship.
I was thinking, you know, well, you know, you live and you die, and then everybody forgets about you anyways.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, on that positive note.
Well, fit, positive, confident, you know, every program with me, my goal is to both offend everybody and make everybody angry. So, yeah, on that note, life sucks and then you die.
I signed up for ChatGPT-4.
Did you really?
Yeah. I get
now your life really sucks.
I pay like $20 a month. Right. So
okay,
what?
I find that entertaining.
You're laughing? You think I'm wasting my money? Guess what? I mean, what could I get for $20? Maybe I can go to McDonald's 1.5 times.
If only. Yeah. No, I mean, it's dirt cheap, but, you know, yeah. So
it's changing everybody's lives. It is going to improve the quality of our lives tremendously, this AI. It's going to become a tool for the poor people to become richer. It's going to become a tool for people to create social justice in this country and all over the world. We're going to clean up the environment and stop the global warming, and people are not going to shoot each other anymore.
Oh, man, I feel like I'm being baited here.
But, I mean, this is presented as Jesus coming, second coming of Jesus, and we are entering the promised land.
Well, did you see the Copilot Super Bowl commercial? That was my all-time favorite full-on fraud, outright lies, layers of lies commercial I've ever seen in my life. That was truly awesome. Have you seen it?
Yeah, but why would they, when you say all of this, that this was lies and all of that, what was the purpose behind those lies?
Well, it's big money. It's big money. So, you know, I'm running Windows 10 on my various computers, and now they just keep popping up trying to get me to sign up for Copilot. So, you know, basically Windows is just malware. It's even worse on Windows 11. I won't go to Windows 11. So it's just literally Microsoft has just become malware, and you can't turn it off. I've I've gone online and found the registry hacks that you're supposed to do to make it stop, but it continues. So yeah, Microsoft is determined to cram Copilot down all of our throats, and it's a joke. One of our employees has used it extensively, and it's an absolute joke. ChatGPT, my business partner Rocky, and I have studied that thing extensively. And this is one place where actually a PhD in philosophy is helpful because, you know, it's not just sitting around talking about Plato and Aristotle. I mean, modern analytic philosophy is pretty far removed from, you know, what Plato and Aristotle were doing back in the day. And modern analytic philosophy is very involved in logic, philosophy of language, deep structure of language, the nature of thought itself, and so on and so forth. So I watch all this hype developing over the last couple of years, and it's really reached a frothy pitch at this point. So I watch all this developing, and I'm just shaking my head going, wow, like nobody has the foggiest clue what they're talking about. And the people that are actually doing this research and these companies that are marketing this, it is 100% hype. This is not, this is, yeah.
Okay. So what I said in the beginning about all of that was just pure gibberish, you know, to get you going. But
oh, yeah, but, you did. You know, I knew I was being baited.
But why don't you break it down for us? What's going on? What is the promise?
Well, the promise is that basically these things are going to learn all the knowledge that there is in the world. And then all of that is just instantly at our fingertips. So that's one of the promises. It's like, you know, search engines on steroids. So, you know, when you've got a company like Google that basically invented, you know, large language, natural language searches, you know, this is a natural step forward. And I'm not denying that they can be useful, thought of as search engines. But the results in many cases are much, much worse than even what you would get in just a search engine. And the real danger here, see, now Elon Musk is terrified that AI is going to become sentient and take over the world. And you know, I have a lot of respect for Musk on many levels, but he doesn't know what he's talking about here. Mm-hmm. I do have a PhD in analytic philosophy, and this is something I do have some actual deep knowledge of what's really going on here. And moreover, my company does a AI engine as part of what we offer to the market. But it's not AI like these large language models. It's a very specific, it's not a generative AI in the sense that these folks are talking about. But I do understand at a very great deal of depth what you can do with computer programming, what you can do with large systems, enterprise systems, and what the nature of thought is itself. So I'm making some pretty sweeping claims here about the sorts of things that I understand and the kind of research that I've done. But I do think I know a thing or two about what is really going on under the hood here. And frankly, I watch a commercial like Copilot, and I'm just sitting around shaking my head wondering why the Justice Department has not already filed suit against these guys for fraud. Because absolutely everything that is going on in that commercial is a lie. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a really strident, amazing statement to make, but I'll repeat it for effect. It's a lie. It's layers of lies. Well, there's meta lies.
Break it down for people who didn't see the commercial.
Well, so the commercial starts with these folks making statements like, they say I will never open my own business or get my degree. They say I will never make my movie or build something. They say I'm too old to learn something new or too young to change the world. Okay, well, first of all, I'm sitting here thinking, who says that? Who's this they? Who says any of that?
Illuminati.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe some really dysfunctional parent. But I mean, there's no they here that's saying this to these folks. But then, you know, the music builds and it's this, you know, driving music and it's all so powerful and amazing. And then these people say, but I say, watch me. And then throughout the entire rest of the commercial, this little song is going, just watch me now. just watch me now. And the whole thing is about just watch me. Okay, well, then you start looking at what these people are doing with Copilot. And they are typing in lines like, generate storyboard images for the dragon scene in my script. Or, this is my favorite, write code for my 3D open world game. Or quiz me in organic chemistry. Or design a sign for my classic truck repair garage, Mike's. And so the whole premise of the thing is your everyday AI companion. So this thing is not only going to revolutionize your life, mm-hmm. you're going to revolutionize the world.
Okay, so anyways, we got to take a break because I want to tell you a quick little story after the break. We'll be right back. This is Fit Positive Confident. We are a radio show and also a podcast. You can find us on all of these different podcast platforms. In the studio today, Dr. Richard Jensen, and we are talking about AI. So Richard, a friend of mine, shows up out of the blue today that I haven't seen in like 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, what's going on? What's up? What have you been up to? And the guy says, well, I wrote the book. And I say, well, tell me about it. So he went and he got AI. I don't know which one. I don't know if it was ChatGPT or what. You're laughing, but this is a serious matter.
I already know where this is going. Okay. So, yeah.
And he told me that he always had, a confusion reading the Bible. So he went to AI and got AI to basically rearrange the Bible according to the topics, you know. So he says, you know, oh, topic maybe, I don't know what he's going to send me the book, but he's actually publishing it on Amazon himself. But he's basically told ChatGPT or whatever AI he was using to rearrange the Bible according to the topic of love, topic of death, topic of eternal life, whatever, and then everything is there at your fingerprint. So my point is that average people are using this to publish a book and maybe to start a business.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And believe me, in my previous tirade, I'm in no way denying that people are using it. I mean, the whole reason this is being marketed as heavily as it is and the amount of money that's getting poured into it is because most people believe in this whole your everyday companion, just watch me now. Okay, but let's start asking some questions.
Yes.
So this guy is claiming that he wrote a book. What did he do?
Well, I don't know the extent to which he actually, you know, retyped or whatever, added his own content. That I don't know. I haven't seen the book. But we don't know.
The point is that
If you want to write a book about a topic, but you don't know how to go about it, this AI system can actually guide you through it. And somebody who is not Ernest Hemingway can end up writing a book.
Absolutely.
Now, I agree with you.
It'll be any good.
I agree with you that it's not the same thing, you know, as when somebody does this from their own creativity, you know. I don't think that AI can ever replace a creativity of an artist or somebody, you know, a human being.
Yeah, it's actually much worse than that. There's a really good article out there called DeepGram on deepgram.com. So if you want to look it up, it says, what happens when AI eats itself? Well, it turns out that early on, they were training AI by just pointing it at all kinds of different websites, you know, that people had written and various content that people had generated. And so AI was learning based on genuinely creative content. But they're actually running out of content. And so now they are feeding AI-generated material back into the AI itself. And at this point, researchers from Stanford University and elsewhere have come to realize and have actually coined a phrase to describe it. There is a phrase called model autophagy disorder, MAD. And this disorder occurs when the models are themselves trained on AI-generated data. Now, remember, these are called generative AIs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a bogus claim right out of the gate, because that implies creativity. But what these studies have now found is that these are the antithesis of creativity. The more that they feed on themselves, the more they feed on generated data that is being generated by other AIs, the worse their performance is. So here's just a couple of quotes from this article that I think really give the lie to kind of what you were alluding to earlier. So it says, in July 2023, just 8 months after the launch of ChatGPT, a new study found that ChatGPT's ability to write code and perform other tasks had gotten significantly worse than when the model was first released. When a team of researchers from Stanford University and the University of California, Berkeley, tested generated code from the March and June versions of ChatGPT 3.5 and ChatGPT 4, they found that only 10% of the generated responses were executable. Now, that's really important. That's saying, the whole thing from Copilot, write code for my 3D open world game.
Saying that the code doesn't work.
It doesn't. It lies. I mean, Microsoft lies and the AIs themselves lie. And I'll get into our personal experience with this.
I'm sorry.
53% of the code was executable just a month earlier. And ChatGPT 3.5 went from 22% correct in March to 2% in June.
But
so the more that they feed these things on themselves, the less accurate and reliable they become. And it's called MAD. They just literally eat themselves and become garbage.
It's AI cannibalism.
Exactly. Every error is what gets magnified.
Okay.
Because
but
they're
is
not creating anything.
Okay. I want to ask, is the market itself going to fix that problem? Because if you get burned, over and over again, then why would you want to continue using it?
Yeah, I think that I think the market is going, at least certainly in the coding market, everybody I know who's an actual computer programmer, and we know bunches, they all dabble with it, and it has some benefits. I'm not saying that it's absolute junk. I'm not saying that AI has no value. What I'm saying is, it is absolutely not doing what the hype says that it's doing. It's going to get more and more unreliable. It is never going to be sentient. What it's doing bears no resemblance to what the hype says it's doing. And what you're really getting here is either a glorified version of the early chatbot Eliza, or you're getting a glorified search engine. There's nothing that is revolutionary going on in these AI engines at all. And I cannot emphasize that enough. They are not going to change the world. They're not going to change your life. They are not going to enable you to start your own business or write your own 3D open world game. You have to be creative. You have to do the work. And so this idea of just watch me now with lines like write for me my game, or write for me my book. Well, I'm not watching you. No just watch me now.
Is ChatGPT, for example, is it good enough to give you just the data, the raw data, that then you can be creative with?
No, it's not. So so we've done a bunch of testing ourselves, and the results are really laughable. So for example, we do all of our server-side coding in PHP. And so we at one point said, it'd be interesting to see how ChatGPT handles the iCal parsing model, because the calendar data exchange model called iCal, that can be up to infinitely complex and deeply nested. So it's an interesting problem from a programming point of view to write a parser. Yeah, so are we out of time here?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay.
All right. I wasn't paying attention to the clock, so we went into that break kind of quickly, abruptly. Okay, so you'll have to repeat some of that. Where you started. You were testing.
Yeah, so we were testing, and what we decided was, let's sic it on an interesting computer programming problem, which is to write a parser to parse the ICAL standard format. And so it produces a whole bunch of PHP code, about 100 lines. So we start whipping through it and going, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay. So now we're at the part where you actually have to do the work. Okay. Everything that's done so far, this is all set up. But now you have to actually delve in and start doing the difficult recursive looping within this function. And that's the function that's really where the rubber meets the road. So we see this function call. And both Rocky and I are shaking our heads going, I don't remember any function like that. That's where it dives in and it comes out with all the data. Well, that function's a black box. Does that function exist? No, no such function exists in PHP, never has. So we tell it, that function doesn't exist in PHP. Can you actually tell us what's going on inside that function? Because that's the function where the rubber meets the road here. And it responds all graciously, I'm sorry, you're right. That is not a function in PHP. Here, let me try again. Then it produces another 50 lines of code. And within that 50 lines of code are four other functions, all of which would do the hard work. And yet again, not one of those four functions has ever existed in PHP. So it literally cannot do the hard work. It literally cannot get into the ICAL format and generate the recursive nature of the parser it would take to deal with that format. Instead, it literally invents functions that have never existed and that absolutely would not execute. And so it's writing you absolutely garbage code, making things up that don't exist in reality at all.
Well, is it with time, is that going to change? Is it going to be improved? Is it fixable?
So here's the problem. The problem is, as I said before, it's now known that they're literally running out of data sets of real data to feed into these engines. And so the article that I was quoting, what happens when AI eats itself, the problem is that more and more of the data is being AI generated. So it's not just, deplete all data. All key data by probably 2026 is the projection. So a higher and higher percentage, at this point, it's over 40% of the data that these engines are being trained on is itself AI generated data.
Which could be.
That's when you pitch off into MAD. So think about the fact that it's not getting better. It's actually getting worse. So when you say, is it going to get better? I say, in principle, it can't because it's not creative. It's not generative. Everything that they're saying about what it does and what it's doing and how it learns is hype. And now that's rigorously proved. So we have numerous researchers that are finding out that MAD is a real problem. It's a fundamental problem. And it's because these things are not creative. Instead, they are degenerative. They're not generative. They're degenerative.
How could they be running out of data?
Well, because there is a finite set of data out there in the world.
I mean,
not all of it is accessible.
You're saying that we as human beings are not keeping up or not creating data fast enough.
Correct. Not creating. And that's the point. Human beings genuinely create. And this is another thing that as an analytic philosopher, I will say, it's rigorously proved that what human beings are doing is genuinely creative. We are doing something that is, it cannot be put into an algorithm. Whatever it is we're doing, it's not deterministic. So this idea that we are free, that we are radically free, is really the case. And there's numerous vectors to show that that's really the case. But these AI engines are all locked into their code. they can generate bigger and bigger data sets, and they can assimilate more and more correlations between different data points. They're not creating anything. They're not generating anything. And the more that they are sifting through the same data sets and generating quote unquote new data sets, and then feeding on those new data sets, their ability to correlate, their ability to produce genuinely useful data is degenerating before our very eyes. So it's ironic that we're watching both the ascension of AI and its imminent decline at the exact same moment.
And I mean, my question is, how long will it be in a decline before it starts going up again? Are we going to ever catch up with the new data? Scientific community.
Well, we'll always be generating new data.
But not that
beings are not at the rate that these large language models need to continue to assimilate. So
Where do they get all of their data from?
Well, a lot of it is on the internet. You know, they're tapped in, like Google. Google's tapped into everything. So they're basically, like I said, this is a gigantic search engine is what it boils down to. So these different companies are basically just approaching search in different ways.
Are they able to get data from any country of the world?
Anything that's accessible. So you can't, for example, get access to our systems because they're locked behind authentication. But anything that's publicly accessible, they can get into, and they do, and they are, and that's their feed.
So everything that's publicly accessible has been accessed, basically, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, there's fringes out there that they haven't tapped into. The estimate is they will absolutely run out of new data by 2026.
Is it going to have effect on somebody? I mean, you're already locking your data away from anybody's eyes. Is that going to become a trend with other enterprises?
Well, I think so, because, you know, for example, we have some very sophisticated code, and of course it's proprietary. It's our intellectual property. The last thing we want is some, you know, Google's AI engine to suddenly be tapping into our code. So the really good code, the really sophisticated code, is not out there for public exposure. And this is part of the problem with, so look, I will flatly say that there are things that the AI engines are actually pretty good at. I think optimizing SQL queries is a place where they're actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. If you hand them every bit of what they need in the form of the query and then say, optimize this, they can be pretty good at doing that, better than most humans. So that is something that we will occasionally use them to do if we've got a really complex query that's difficult for you to just get your mind around the whole thing. It's maybe a query that's 150 lines long. That's a really good place to stick an AI engine on it, and it'll come up with something like, oh yeah, so if you shuffle these joins around and make that a left join, and oh, by the way, double check that you've got an index on this field, you know, they can be useful for that kind of thing. But this whole idea of write code for my next 3D open world game, this is absurd. I mean, this is absurd. You know, help me start my business. Well, I'll tell you what it should be saying is, what municipality do you live in? Oh, such and such a spot in Illinois. Okay, well, you can kiss that goodbye, because you're going to be out tens of thousands of dollars to get through all the regulatory hoops and file all the forms, and you'll have to hire an attorney. You're not going to do this one yourself. And, oh, by the way, have you heard of B&O tax? Have you heard of this tax? Have you heard of that tax? Really? So here's the amount of money that you'd need to be making every single year, your first year, to have the tiniest shred of a hope of being successful. Just watch me now. So it's not going to tell you the reality. The idea that you're literally just going to go, I can't start my own business, but now I've got Copilot, so now I can start my own business. It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
It's being, but somebody's going to sell it, make money off of it.
Oh, they're making boatloads of money off of it. But that's why I'm saying, where's the Justice Department to say, hey, sustain these claims, Microsoft, because not a one of them is sustainable. So we've actually done the very search from the advertisement. Write code for my 3D open world game. We've actually entered that exact search. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it does?
What does it do?
It basically shows you a couple of websites, the Unreal Engine, which is a 3D open world engine. But that's not your code, and that's not Copilot writing it. And that engine is nothing but a framework. You're still going to spend millions of dollars on developing code within that framework.
All right. Let's come back and after the break and do one more segment on this. All right, back in the studio with Dr. Richard Jensen, and we are talking about AI, and we just decided to devote this last section to the dangers that are that you think are real. I mean, Elon Musk is saying this is going to take over the world, and we are all going to be slaves, right? So, is that the realistic danger?
He thinks it's going to become sentient. No, not at all. The vast majority of people do not have the foggiest idea what is going on with consciousness, with sentience. And so for those who have studied this in some depth and understand the nature of the questions that need to be asked, it's very clear to us that there isn't a shred of a chance that that these AIs are going to become sentient. The idea was, they're going to get better and better. They're going to feed on themselves and develop themselves. Well, now it's proven, it's rigorously shown that these AI engines degenerate, they don't generate. And so there's countless ways of cracking this nut in terms of saying they're not going to become sentient. I will just cast it this way in a nutshell. I'm really barely scratching the surface, which is they are locked within their code.
So
they are not doing anything new. They are doing purely deterministic processing of a deterministic finite data set.
So you're saying we are not going to have these robots running around that are fully alive and aware and are basically like human beings.
Yeah, conscious like we are. No, we're not. We're absolutely not.
They cannot be conscious, right?
No, they are not in principle. I'm not talking about, well, if they throw more hardware at them and if they crack the nut regarding that MAD problem, okay, then maybe, okay, so, you know, this is still in its infancy. It can get better. No. People that are saying that do not understand the nature of the issue here, the fundamental in principle problem. What human beings are doing when we think is not deterministic. Whereas what these machines do is deterministic. And the problem is not solved by moving this onto a quantum computing model where the claim is, well, but now you're getting non-deterministic process. We don't have enough time to even go into all this, but it's all hype. It's not real.
You're saying when a human being thinks, you never know where he's going to go. When this thing thinks, it's going to go in one of so many directions because the data is already.
Yep. Once you know the algorithm and once you know the data set, then it is possible in principle to figure out what answer this thing is going to give. Whereas with human beings, what we are doing, for example, in solving polyadic predicate logic, we can do derivations and we can find invalidating models that, again, I people can just look this up if they don't believe it coming out of my mouth. But the fact is, it is rigorously proved that polyadic predicate logic with identity, invalidating models and derivations are insoluble by any deterministic process.
Okay, now say that in English.
That's as close as I can come. But we do that. We human beings solve polyadic predicate logic derivations.
Okay.
We can find invalidating models. We can do it reliably. We can do it quickly.
Give an example.
We're good at it.
Example.
Well, man, I don't know. So what what does the word polyadic predicate even mean?
With the people who are listening to this show are not necessarily all PhDs in logic and, all of that stuff. So we need to understand this, Richard.
I can't explain it in a couple minutes, and I really don't want to get too sidetracked because I don't want to lose casting what the real dangers are. So I would just say to anyone who cares to follow up on this, just look up polyadic predicate logic with identity derivations.
I'm going to look it up myself. We're going to come back and do the whole show just on that.
That would be fun. It would also glaze everybody's eyes over.
Okay,
I tell you, nobody knows what philosophers are thinking, and once they find out, they're like, no, please stop.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay, so here it is. AI is dangerous. It's not going to take over the world in the way Elon Musk is saying, but the problem is people are lazy, and they do feed on themselves. They form little echo chambers, and human beings become every bit as degenerative as AI when they form their little echo chambers and feed on their own perspectives and the perspectives of people that hang around and are all yes people. Yes, you're so brilliant. And when all those other people, they're so bad, they're idiots, they're clueless, on and on and on, right? So we have a natural tendency to process information in really lazy ways. Mm. Now, we're capable of doing much better, but our tendency is to be lazy. Humans are lazy, comfort-seeking, soft, wimpy. We don't want to do the hard thing. That's the reality of our nature.
We like to feed on stupid.
Yeah, exactly. And there's that good old demotivator poster about committees, I think it is, because no one of us can be as stupid as all of us together is the line. Well, there it is. So we naturally want to imbibe something like these degenerative AIs and the garbage that they spew out. The danger is they're broken, they're biased, and yet people believe them. And so particularly for coding projects, it's extremely dangerous because they can write bad code that's buggy, but it's buggy in subtle ways that you don't detect unless you really know what you're doing. And so when you tell it, write me code to do X, Y, and Z, and it does, and heaven help you, it actually executes, well, that doesn't mean it's good code. It's probably buggy code.
Mm.
And it's going to get buggier and buggier as these engines degenerate. So everything from writing this book that turns out to be a degenerative, not creative tome to writing your next 3D open world game, to the extent that you're not willing to do the hard work and learn what you need to learn to actually do this stuff for yourselves, this whole lie of just watch me now is that. It's a lie. No one's watching you. They're watching bad AI, and it's going to get worse.
But people are going to get excited about it because they think there is.
Oh, yeah.
We always love free stuff, don't we?
We love that, and we love this promise of empowerment with no effort.
There you go.
I don't have to try hard, but it's just going to hand me my business. It's going to hand me my 3D game. It's going to hand me my book.
On that note.
Just watch me now.
Just watch you now, Richard. Bye-bye, everybody. God bless.
Be sure to tune in next time for another unique perspective on your whole person health with your host, Dr. G. And don't forget to share the goodness with friends and family and visit our website at fitpositiveconfident.tv and follow Dr. G on Twitter at Dr. G Fitness. God bless and stay healthy.